Hi, I'm Justin Tinsley. You might know me from my work at Anscape, or as the author of a Biggie Smalls biography, or from my mostly victorious appearances on Around the Horn. So you're going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily for the near future. And guess what? I'm one of them. I'll be pitching in for the rest of the week, helping this pod do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Hope you enjoy. Holly Rowe, where in the world are you right now?
I'm in Dallas, Texas, the site of the Women's Final Four, and it is hopping.
You know, I would ask you to go, please get me an update on my Dallas Cowboys, but I want you to have fun, not frustrate yourself or depress yourself. So let's just focus on the Final Four right now, all right? I'm really excited to talk to you about both games. We can start with LSU and Virginia Tech. That's the early game, but we all know the main event, and it's honestly the biggest matchup in either bracket, men's or women's. And it's one of the biggest matchups we've seen in quite some time. You know, you have National Player of the Year, the flamethrower that is Caitlin Clark, against the defending champs, oh yeah, who happened to be undefeated in the South Carolina Gamecocks. So where does this rank in terms of anticipation and hype in terms of the Iowa-South Carolina matchup? And what does this mean for, like, women's college basketball?
This ranks pretty high. I remember the year that Breanna Stewart had a chance to win her fourth straight women's Final Four and national championship, which has never been done, never will be done again by a woman, I don't think. And her teammates, Mariah Jefferson and Morgan Tuck, were also part of that. But this one's right up there because we just have some of the biggest, larger than life people in this. Number one, let's start with Dawn Staley. I am here today sitting with you on this podcast covering two decades of women's Final Fours because of Dawn Staley. I was a young intern at CBS Sports in the early 90s, and one of my jobs was to go through and log commercials. And so one of the first games I had to log was Virginia women's basketball. And it was the year that Dawn Staley and Tammy Reese were playing. That's my vivid, vivid memory. And I was like, holy bleep, I have never seen a woman play like this. And she was so much flavor and so much flair and spice in the way she played. And I fell in love with women's basketball in a way. I'd always liked it. I'd always loved it. But I just became obsessed in a way I'd never been obsessed before. And it's because of Dawn Staley. She's larger than life. She has morphed into this iconic coach and figure. Now add that player of the year candidate, Aaliyah Boston, who all she's done is great, great excellence every time she steps on the court.
Boston to the left side. Got it. 16 now for Aaliyah Boston, and it's back up to a 10-point lead.
She's one of my favorite people I've ever met, one of my favorite players I've ever covered. You have Aaliyah Boston. You have a team of stars for South Carolina. Okay, now throw in Caitlin Clark, who is must-watch appointment television. And, you know, I just covered her 40-point triple-double the other night. And it's literally just jaw-dropping. She comes down and she hits these shots, and you're just like, holy, what?
Here's Clark, guarded by Robinson. Clark firing again. Oh, my! Caitlin Clark, a showstopper!
And then don't get it twisted. On the other side of the bracket, if you haven't seen Georgia Amore from Virginia Tech play, she is like a lightning bug in a bottle, just like unbelievable little Aussie that I'm 5'3.5". When I interview her, I think maybe I'm taller than her. And she's out here doing all this. And then throw in the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese. I got to fly down to Baton Rouge and spend a day with her earlier this season. And I'm all in on Angel Reese. I just think she's the real deal. And I absolutely love this young woman. So, we have headlines.
The defending national champions, South Carolina, stays unbeaten with a school record 36th win. And they are back in the Final Four.
We have shot makers.
Cross court it to Boston. Wide open for three. Bang!
We have iconic people.
I said I wanted to take this program to the Final Four, and all you got to do is dream, and we're going to Dallas, baby.
There's so much excitement, and Dallas is the best place in the world to be right now.
The Naismith Awards for women's college basketball were announced earlier this week, and the names weren't exactly a surprise. Player of the Year, Iowa's Caitlin Clark. Defensive Player of the Year, South Carolina's Aaliyah Boston. Coach of the Year, the leader of the undefeated Gamecocks, Dawn Staley. And tonight, all those names are going to be on the same court, and the stakes couldn't be higher. So today, Holly Rowe gets us ready for the Final Four. She'll tell us why LSU-Virginia Tech might be closer than you think, and whether Iowa can pull off an upset for the ages against the defending champs. I'm Justin Tinsley. It's Friday, March 31st. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay, Holly, let's start with the matchup everybody's been hoping to see. And I don't think there's a way we can hype this up enough. It's just impossible. Like, we've got last year's champs. Oh, yeah, and they're currently undefeated at 36-0, South Carolina Gamecocks. And we got Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa's a 2-seed, but they could have very easily been a 1-seed going into the tournament. And Clark is coming off a signature performance. You mentioned it earlier, a 40-point triple-double. That's never been done before, men's or women's. We're watching a legend add to her legend in real time. So if it's possible, Holly, can you put into words just how good Caitlin Clark has been in this tournament?
Caitlin Clark's been doing this all of her time at Iowa, and she's elevated it on a stage and in big moments that matter. I talked to her after she dropped that 40-point triple-double, and one of the things she told me was that she's really been working on her mental toughness. And I find that fascinating because she said, I know I have all the skill. I have it. I can do it. But I needed to get better up here. And she tapped her head. She has been watching film of herself, her body language, how she communicates with her teammates, how she can be better mentally on the court by watching film of herself. I find that fascinating because, you know, most players watch film to see what they can do better athletically. She's watching film to see what she can be doing better as a teammate. She's also been doing some work with a mental performance coach named Brett Ledbetter. And one of the things they've worked on is having kind of this mantra. And I forgot if she told me if it's peace in the quest or peace in the chase. But either one of those is a great mantra. And it's like just having peace, knowing that you're doing all that you can and that you're doing your best. And so you're not filled with this anxiety. So you're able to actually enjoy the chase and enjoy the quest because you are filled with such great peace that you're built for it. And I think that's where Caitlin Clark is living in that space right now. And it's pretty cool.
Caitlin Clark, she's been a star since her freshman year, but it feels like in the last couple of weeks, her celebrity has exploded. And it makes sense. Like she's scoring or assisting on 62% of all of her team's points in the tournament. But what's that been like for you watching a superstar evolve into a megastar in real time? And how fun is that to cover?
You know, it's been really fun to watch Caitlin Clark on this platform because she is capturing the imagination of everybody. I mean, you see Steph Curry tweeting about her. I saw LeBron tweeting about her. I saw John Cena tweeting about her. We're seeing a lot of mainstream people, and everywhere I go, I worked a game earlier this year that Caitlin hit a game winner with 1.5 seconds left. It was this crazy fadeaway game-winning shot.
Martin looking. Here's Clark. She fires. And it goes! She hit it!
And I go to my other job, which is as an analyst for the Utah Jazz, and that's all anyone in the NBA wants to talk to me about is, oh my gosh, she's amazing. That, like, she's just capturing people's mind and heart because she's doing stuff that's just hard to do. And I think it's really cool. She's becoming a household name, and she deserves it. She's worked so hard.
So, Holly, I want to play a game with you real quick. I want to tell you where the world was in April 1993. Dr. Dre's Nothing But a G Thang and Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing were both top five records in the country. You know the number one movie in the country was at that point in time? Indecent Proposal. And not to make anybody sad. Yeah, yeah. Not to make anybody sad. The average cost of a gallon of gas was $1.17. Now, I'm saying all of this because in April 1993, C. Vivian Stringer led the Iowa Hawkeyes to the Final Four. And they haven't been back since until this year. So just how did Iowa this year manage to do something the program hadn't done in three decades?
Well, number one, I want to give C. Vivian Stringer a shout out because for her at that time in our country, in our culture, in America, to lead an Iowa Hawkeye basketball team to the Final Four, it's epic. And there needs to be like a documentary on that season, first and foremost. So I want to give C. Viv her flowers. But I think how they've managed to do it, and Gino Auriemma said this to us last week, is usually when he's brought teams to the Final Four and when they win it all, it's because he has someone. And that means he has Diana Taurasi and nobody else does, or he has Maya Moore and nobody else does, or he has Breanna Stewart and nobody else does. And the someone is obviously Caitlin Clark. She has been transformational for that team, but she's also been a great teammate in that the people around her, she has elevated them. Monica Sinano is their post player. So you're going to watch and you're going to be like, what kind of weird basketball is this? Because she doesn't dribble. I think she has one dribble the entire NCAA tournament. One dribble.
What?
And that is a post player who gets the ball in the post right where she gets it because Caitlin Clark is so good at feeding her where she needs the ball. And then she turns and scores.
Caitlin Clark trying to feed Sinano. Got good positioning, perfect pass, and an easy layup for Monica Sinano.
So the chemistry and the way Caitlin is pushing that team, Monica said, I wouldn't be the player I am if Caitlin wasn't pushing me. You know, Caitlin will yell at you. She'll get on you. She'll tell you to be better. She'll tell you to catch the ball. And she's elevated that team.
So on the other side of this, it's the South Carolina Gamecocks. They need no introduction. They came into this tournament as the favorites, as they should be, and they're looking to repeat. Is this team even better than last year? And how is that even possible?
Yeah, this team is better than last year because they're deeper. They have more talent. They have more connectivity in important places. And Aaliyah Boston is better. Camilla Cardoza, who is their 6'7" player, coming off the bench is better. And we were looking at it. Their bench is averaging over 33 points a game. I think the real greatness of South Carolina and why they're so hard to beat is, let's say you do a great job against their five starters and you might be hanging in that game and you're doing your best. And then all of a sudden comes this new wave of players off the bench. And one of them, 6'7", Camilla Cardoza, that could be starting anywhere in the country. And it's just demoralizing. It's like, oh my gosh, we beat the first team, but this second team's coming in now and they're just smoking people off the bench. So to me, they're better because they're deeper.
So this is the third consecutive Final Four that Dawn Staley has taken South Carolina to. And what does this excellence mean for her? And how do you approach a team that hadn't lost in a year?
Yeah, this excellence is spectacular. It is such a beautiful thing to see because Dawn Staley has kind of come into her own as a coach. But not only as a coach, she's an iconic figure in our culture and in our society. When hard topics come up or things that have to be talked about come up, Dawn Staley is unafraid to be the one addressing things. This is a young woman who grew up in Philly that was like the corner where the projects are. You know, like I've been to the corner where she grew up. And it's not the greatest neighborhood you were ever in. And where she came from, what she's fought through, how she's excelled at everything she's ever done. I think it's really important. She will have 3 national championships if they win it all. Put into context, Pat Summitt has 9. Geno has 11. Kim Mulkey, I think, has 2 or 3. Tara Vanderveer has 2. You know, she's getting there. She's not going to be the top yet, because when you look at what Geno Auriemma and Pat Summitt did, she's got a long way to go. But listen, from where she started to where she is now, I think that's something worth really celebrating. But her players are spectacular. Zaya Cook has been their leading scorer all season long.
That would be Cook. He's probed that baseline twice. Now will stay away for 3. Come on, Zaya Cook. You drive it.
The last 3 years of her career, if her shot wasn't falling, Zaya Cook could become disengaged or disconnected or overthinking a game. Even in the Final Four last year, she had to sit on the bench, and a freshman came in at critical moments in that national championship run because Zaya wasn't hitting shots and wasn't doing what she could for her team. That ain't Zaya this year. Zaya is mentally strong. She's doing the little things. If her shot doesn't fall, she doesn't care. She is up in your grill, defending you, rebounding, facilitating. And the growth in her this season, I think, has been one of the biggest reasons why they're undefeated, because she has taken a whole nother step to her game and her mental game.
Let's talk about Aaliyah Boston, because much of the success in the tournament is thanks to her. What have you seen from Aaliyah right now, and what will her legacy at South Carolina be once she eventually leaves?
I think she has been the most composed and competitive superstar we've seen. She's getting double and triple team every time she touches the ball. And how she doesn't come out swinging an elbow or getting frustrated or getting fed up. She is so composed with all this attention and all the physicality, frankly, that people throw at her. I remember vividly the first day I met Aaliyah Boston, and I came away there saying, I feel like that's sunshine. Mm. You know, she sparkles like sunshine. If you meet her, you come away feeling really good about your day. She's just such a wonderful person. She shines. She's light. She's joyful. And her story is fascinating. She grew up in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands.
So this is where it all started.
This is outside courts.
I love it.
The heat used to be booming. Okay? You got to sweat in by walking up the hill.
And her coach there, Coach Brulee, when she was 10 or 12 years old, said to her mother, if she wants to be great at this, she has to leave the island. You know, she's not going to get recruited enough here. She's not going to get seen enough here.
And I saw some signs in her, right? In 7th grade, I told her mother she was a D1 prospect.
And so this is a classic story. Her mom, Cleone, had a sister that lived in Boston, in Massachusetts area. And they would go there for summers and go to basketball camps and then come back to St. Thomas. Well, when she was 12 years old, mom got it all set up. She got her enrolled in school. She got her a place to live with her aunt and didn't tell dad. And so Aaliyah leaves and goes to what was supposed to be basketball camp and never comes home. She goes to live with her aunt and play basketball in high school in Massachusetts so she can be seen and she can be recruited. And dad was salty about it. We've laughed about it through the years. He was like, I just bought him new bedroom furniture and remodeled their bedroom, and mom never told me they weren't coming back. So Aaliyah and her sister left and went and lived with their aunt since they were 12 years old to chase this dream. Like, that's hard.
Wow.
You're gone for birthdays. You're gone for Christmas. You know, they could go home occasionally, but financially they had to stay in Massachusetts. And because they did that, she got recruited. And soon into her high school, she started getting recruited by Don Staley. And that's when the family knew that sacrifice and that decision was the right one.
I mean, it's just knowing what I wanted to accomplish and just knowing the sacrifices that my entire family has made. It's like, you have to keep going. This wasn't all just for fun. I mean, basketball is fun, but all the sacrifices, I mean, it's for a greater purpose.
So how does this go, Holly? Can South Carolina slow down Caitlin Clark? And how the hell does Iowa contain Aaliyah Boston?
I'm fascinated. I don't know if South Carolina can slow down Caitlin Clark, because nobody has yet. She's kind of slithers and moves like water, and she is really hard and slippery to defend. And she can pull up and shoot from anywhere. Her range is insane. But South Carolina has the best defender in the country. It's the player that I think should be the defensive player of the year, and that's Bree Beal. And we saw Bree Beal. She is a big, strong, physical guard, and she can defend anybody on the court. And so that's who I think is going to be defending Caitlin Clark. But I think Caitlin is a little faster side to side. Can she get by Bree Beal? Can they set enough screens to get Caitlin just that breath of air? She just needs a sliver to get a shot off. So it's going to be the whole game. Is if they can slow down Caitlin Clark, it's going to be a long night for Iowa. But I haven't seen anybody do it yet. We'll see if South Carolina can. On the converse side, it's going to be very, very difficult for Iowa to shut down the inside game of Aaliyah Boston. You know, they really have two, three good post players. And if they get into foul trouble, if Monica Sinano picks up early fouls, Hannah Stolke is their great freshman off the bench. That could be a really difficult thing. I just don't know if the Iowa Hawkeyes can shut down Aaliyah Boston inside and Camilla Cardozo when she comes in off the bench.
So Iowa's double-digit underdogs, despite all the hype and anticipation around this game. What needs to happen for Iowa to pull an upset?
They have to hit three-point shots. So they have other very capable shooters. McKenna Warnock hit a bunch of threes in their last game. Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, all three of those players had threes in their last round game against Louisville. And that's what they have to do so that defenses are forced to spread the floor. And then Caitlin and her post, Monica Sinano, can go to work in a two-man game or two-woman game. But if Iowa can hit threes, that could be a great equalizer in this game.
After the break, we'll get into the other side of the bracket.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, Holly, the other game tonight is number 3 LSU and it's number 1 Virginia Tech. Now, I want to start with LSU head coach Kim Mulkey. She's quite the colorful character, and I'm not just talking about her Ric Flair outfits or fits off the court. For those who might not be familiar with Mulkey and her antics, some of which are fun to talk about, some of which, like her history with former player Brittany Griner, are very serious. How would you describe Kim Mulkey?
Kim Mulkey is one of the most fascinating people you'll ever meet in your life. She is fascinating. Kim Mulkey is also good at everything she has ever done in her life. So I have been covering her now for over 20 years, and I have dug into every crevice, corner, detail of her life. And a couple that I'll share with you is when she was a little girl growing up in Hammond, Louisiana. She grew up in a little tiny parish about 45 minutes outside of Baton Rouge. And she was good at everything as a kid, perfect attendance, straight A's. And when she was about, I want to say 12 years old, she was the best player on the boys' little league team in her town because there weren't enough girls to make a girls' little league team. Well, they make it so far, they get to a tournament, and the people say she can't play because she's a girl. So she and her dad take them to court, to get an injunction so she can play because she's the best player on that boys' team. And that's who she is. She's a fighter. She's been fighting since she was 12 years old to show that she's better, she's good enough, and she's the valedictorian. She goes on to Louisiana Tech, wins national championships there as a player. She goes to the Olympics, wins a gold medal, wins a national championship as an assistant coach at Louisiana Tech under the great Leon Weimer. Everything this woman's ever done, she succeeded at, ever. So this is just absolutely unprecedented. She just won the national championship 3 years ago with Baylor. Mm-hmm. She takes over a program that's in shambles at LSU and now has them at the Final Four. I mean, try to wrap your mind around it. It's just crazy.
So let's stick with the Tigers for a second, and I want to focus on Bayou Barbie, as we called her earlier, sophomore Angel Reese. And she's, of course, LSU's best player. How would you break down her game and why it's so dominant? Because she has LSU two wins away from a national championship.
Well, number one, she's dominant because she's physically dominant. I think Angel's 6'5". She is big, strong frame, and she owns her space. She can step out a little bit. She's developing range, working on her range, but she's so hard to stop in the block. She has great footwork, and you pretty much have to foul her to stop her. Not only that, but she's playing with a ton of confidence. She believes in herself. She's putting her crown on. They do the starting lineup. She walks out, and her teammates crown her in the starting lineup. So I would say her confidence, but also her physical strength and physicality has got Angel Reese here in the Final Four.
The Virginia Tech Hokies are probably the team that greater sports fans know the least about in comparison to the other three teams in the Final Four, despite being a number one seed, and they haven't lost since January 26. What do you make of this number one seed Virginia Tech Hokie team?
Yeah, they're on a 15-game winning streak, and they are a fascinating team. They have a good kind of two-person combo in this little Australian guard, Georgia Amor, and she got her start athletically playing Australian rules football, so that should tell you how tough she is. She's listed at 5'6". I'll be shocked if she's 5'4". She's got the most wicked, nasty crossover step back. This small player is absolutely brilliant at gaining space on the floor to get her shot off. And she's deadly.
Here comes Amor. Amor will pull and hit from three.
She's actually made more threes in the NCAA tournament than Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
So wrap your head around that. I think she has 21 threes in four games, and Caitlin has 19. So Georgia Amor, write it down. She is the player you need to know for Virginia Tech, and she's electric, dynamic, and you're going to fall in love watching her. And then her big man, post Liz Kitley or Elizabeth Kitley, is the two-time ACC Player of the Year. She's 6'5". She can finish well inside. She's got a nice mid-range. She can face up. She is a very talented post player. The other cool thing is you need to know about Kenny Brooks. I think he's just the third African-American man to bring a team to the Final Four. So I want to celebrate him and what he's done. He has put thousands of hours of individual development drills. Him, the head coach, working one-on-one with his post Liz Kitley and Georgia Amor. They are the players they are because of their one-on-one skill development work with their head coach, Kenny Brooks. And you'll see it on display. I mean, the moves they have, the skill they have, it's really special. And they'll have to continue hitting those threes. I think that game is more even than people think. And they're kind of similar teams with shifty, quick, speedy, dynamic, electric guards in Alexis Morris and Georgia Amor, and talented, skilled post players in Angel Reese and Liz Kitley.
Holly, thank you so much for this breakdown and analysis, but also thank you for helping me close up my first week as host of ESPN Daily. It's been a true honor and privilege, and have fun at the Final Four, but you don't need me to tell you that.
Thank you, and thanks for having me, and congrats on your first week, and keep rocking it.
I'm Justin Tinsley. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show has been produced by Bradford Craig, Alexander Hyacin, Mike Johns, Heather Lombardo, Ryan Nantel, Mike Filbert, Andre Soto, Andy Tennant, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Deontay Epps, Kendall Majette, and Jackson Ugello. I'll talk to you Monday.